The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 18th day of July 2025. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And we're going to start out. This is it, folks. We got less than 2 hours to keep us in all those stations for the rest of the month. So the number's 888-281-1110. That's a credit card line. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. Back in the phone booth, Pastor's Mighty Men. We have Aaron and Eric back there. And then here we have on the board, the trustworthy, the mighty, mighty Seth is on the board tonight. Hey, Seth.
Good evening.
Good evening, boy. Did you hear that? He said that with absolute authority. Good evening. All right. There you go. Then you heard the cackle? There you go. That's the coast-to-coast cackle. That's Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
And then we have him in here. Even though I'm much older than him, he's the elder. The elder Barkley.
Good evening. Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Okay. We have a lot to get to tonight. And so we're going to start by, we have a prayer request here. We have a young woman named Presley. Presley was in a motorcycle accident, and she had her pelvic broken. And she had to undergo surgery today, and she's trying to recover. And now, I asked if she was saved, but nobody could tell me whether or not she was saved. They just said, you know, would we please pray for her? So, Elder, if you pray for her, oh, wait a minute. We got a way out, you know, way out there in Texas. We had Big John McTurnan.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I thought you abandoned me. I didn't know what I was sitting here. Didn't know what to do. God bless you and all our listeners.
Yeah, it's happening, John. I'm getting what you call it, anyhow. I mean, who in the world could forget you, Big John McTurnan? Right.
I know what it is, John. We need those people in Texas to give.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. We got to get those folks in Texas. They got to come through tonight. All right, but look, we have to start out because Presley is in the hospital. She just had surgery, and she's hoping all you folks out there listening, remember, there's power in prayer. And, so all of those that show mercy, receive it. Go ahead and pray for her. Start with her salvation, because we don't know.
Amen.
But folks, this someday when you need prayer, you'll receive it too.
Yes. Amen. Father God, we just come before you tonight. Certainly we thank you, Father God. You are sovereign. We are just so thankful, Father God, that you are a God that hears our prayers. And you said that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Father, we're so thankful that we're not just praying to the empty air, Father God, but you are concerned. And so, Father God, tonight we come before you, Lord God, and as we say thank you for all that you've done and even what you're doing, we want to bring before you Presley, Lord God. We want to lift her up before you. We understand that she was involved in a motorcycle accident and her there's a situation with her pelvis that it looks to be broken. But Father God, what you are most concerned about, Father God, is the state of the soul, Father God. Even as they lowered the paralytic man down to you and you looked at him and the first thing you said was his sins were forgiven. Father, we pray for Presley that it would be the same thing, Father God. They don't know the state of her salvation, but we pray and ask that her soul might be saved, that her sins might be forgiven, and that, Father God, you might bring her through this. And then, Father God, just after you said his sins were forgiven, Father God, you healed him as well. And we pray for the healing of Presley's physical body, Father God. We pray that she would come through this. We don't know the end. Everything about what is going on. But Father God, we know that Father God, the body that you created is fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father God, we pray that the doctors, nurses, staff that would be looking into her care, Father God, would give her the best care available on this side. But Father, we pray from heaven's side that you would touch her body. Also for her family too, who no doubt, Father God, there's probably worry, anxiety, all of those things. We pray that you would give them peace and that if there's anyone associated with this situation that does not know you in the pardoning of their sins, that Father God, through this, that they would draw a closer relationship with you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to be in Job chapter 4, John. Job chapter 4 tonight. Now, there's been a whole lot out there today. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's having these dreams. And they're talking about this. You know, you got these, the Lord has spoken to me in a dream. I mean, and of course, in the last days, you know, it talks about that. But not all of the dreams are from the Lord, okay? Right. And now they're talking about AI, that now they have the ability to cause, to make people dream what they want them to. They can make you dream something, that wow. The ability. After what happened, you know, here on May 23rd, John, you know, I don't doubt anything now as far as technology, what happened that night, what happened right here in the studio. I mean, we know we're in a different type, and this is, we're dealing with supernatural. We're dealing with the supernatural.
Absolutely.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at some of this. And, John, if you would read verses 1 through 7 and then stop at 7, 1 through 7, Job chapter 4.
Okay, Job chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
Correct.
Okay. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. The words have upholden him that was failing, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. It is not Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy upright of ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perisheth being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off?"
Now, here they're saying that, and this is a common theme throughout the book of Job, you have these three guys continually telling Job, "Job, you got to come clean. You got to come clean, right? Job, you were the guy. Just think about who you were. You were the one, your hands strengthened so many people. You guided so many people. You helped so many people. You were the perfect example, Job. You're telling people how to get through this life. But Job, now it's come upon you, Job. And God's judgment, you know, God's punishment is coming upon you for your sins. And Job, you got to own up to him, right? Mm-hmm. And so here, he says, by the way, whoever heard of it, of anyone who was innocent suffering, right? What about, I think I know some guys, what we call them, the apostles? How do they all end up? We have a bunch of martyrs out there today, Christian martyrs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Who would have been the most innocent person that ever walked the face of the earth and who suffered more than anybody else?
That would only be Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So Eliphaz here, he's kind of off base, isn't he? You know, he said, whoever heard of anyone who was innocent suffering, right? Yeah. A little bit off base.
You're right.
And again, so here, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're going to just put your hand there and there. Hold your spot. And we're going to jump over to chapter 42, and pick it up in the same place there in verse 7. And, Elder, would you start with verse 7 and read verse 7 all the way through the 17?
Okay. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. And my servant Job, as my servant Job hath, therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which was right, which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, as they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. So every man also gave him a piece of money, and every man or every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days.
Now here, a couple of things we see happening here. First of all, Eliphaz and his two buddies there, you know, they were saying how the Lord had spoken to them and the Lord had told them, Job, you need this, you know that. And so the Lord said, I don't know who you were talking to. Well, it wasn't me, right? He said, I didn't say those, right? So now he's saying, here, you better go up and offer up the sacrifice, and you better hope that Job forgives you. You better hope Job forgives you, because if not, you're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So then here, but let me ask you this question here, because, you know, it says that then there came him all his brothers and sisters. The Lord, he replaced every one of the children that Job lost, the same number of children that Job lost. But then again, how did Job end up with twice as many children as he has if they only replaced the same amount that he lost?
Well, the soul doesn't die. That was my interpretation of it, that the souls didn't die, although he lost his, or, I mean, that they would have been in heaven, I believe.
That's right, yeah. Awaiting the reunion. And that's what he was referring to there. Therefore, they were awaiting the reunion. Now, we have to go back, and let's go back to chapter 4.
Okay.
And now, we're going to find out who it was Job was talking to, because he was talking to somebody there, and somebody was talking to Job. And so as we go back to chapter 4, Big John, would you pick it up in verse 8?
Yeah, how far do you want me to go, Pastor Ernie?
Read it. Well, just read it all the way through the end, to 21.
Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey. The stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now the thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof.
Okay.
In thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, let's think about this for a minute. Now, a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. Okay, go ahead, John, and keep reading.
Okay. And thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep fell on men, fear came unto me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. When a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still. I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal men be more than just God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants and his angels. He charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die, even without wisdom.
Okay, now here's an interesting thing, because, see, Eliphaz was sure he was speaking, that God was speaking through him at night, okay? But this wasn't God that was speaking to him. It was the other guy, huh?
Yeah.
And so here he said, shall a mortal man be more than just God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Okay. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. So now he's saying here, this is the devil talking, and he's saying about God, you know, first of all, what? Why in the world would God care about you? What would give God the notion to care about you? Why would he care about you? Look what he did. His angels are far superior to you guys. And look how he treated them, right? He tossed them right out, right?
Yeah.
So then he goes on to say, how much less in them that dwell in the houses of clay, meaning our bodies,
right?
Whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. And he's saying, you know, you people really don't amount to much. I mean, you're really not that much. You're not that great, are you? Okay. And then he's going on to say, they are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Okay, now, that's a lie the devil just told her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does God regard it? And do we perish forever? Not hardly.
No.
People are eternal beings, aren't we?
That's right.
Okay. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. And so here now, do we have the same thing, Big John, happening today? Are there a whole lot of people out there thinking that they're hearing from God when it's not God they're hearing from at all, is it?
Oh, absolutely, Pastor Ernie. I mean, it's at all levels that they think they've heard from God and they haven't. And we've got the Word of God, which we can use as a filter what they're saying to see whether it's from God or not.
You've got all, man, the internet is just filled with all of these new revelations, what's happening. And again, all of these prophecies out there, just absolutely, I mean, they're coming left and right. And we're living in that time. Doesn't Scripture tell us there that God will send the world in the last day strong delusion?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that they should believe a lie. Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And the reason is because they love not they love not truth.
Yeah, and we're
so
seeing
if
it.
If you don't love truth, God will send a deception.
We're seeing it all around us, aren't we? And you know, you had, you know, with those, I have those bumper stickers on my car, and you know, they're one of the best witnesses in the world. They're great big bumper stickers, and they tell you simply, if you died today, would you spend eternity in heaven or hell? Okay. That's all they say. They're big and bold. And all I have to do is be sitting in my car parked, waiting for my wife, and people will walk up out of no place, come up, and usually, mostly women, and knock on the window or whatever to tell me that they're going to heaven or hell. Some, you know, I had this one fellow at the gas station. He come up, and he looked around. He says, wow, he said, I believe that bumper sticker. I believe it. But he said, man, it takes a lot of guts to have that on your car here. And I says, well, I have a lot of guts. But no, it doesn't. It just takes faith that that's what we're supposed to do. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I had, and I think I mentioned it earlier this week, I was coming from lunch. And as I was walking out the door, two ladies were behind me, two women, and one of them was on a walker, and the other, you know, was behind her. So as they come by, the one stopped, and she put her hand right on my chest, and she said, "It is so good to see a man dressed up today." She said, "Well, you know, it's hot in the summertime, and I was probably the only one in there. Just came from church, whatever. I was the only man there wearing a suit, and." And then she took her hand off my tie, and on my tie was John 3:16. And that changed her face when she looked at that. She didn't agree with that, and she said, well, that's not for me. Then I said, because we happened to be standing just a few feet from the car, I pointed to the bumper stickers on the car right there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what about that there? And she said, well, she said, I'm going to hell. That's where all my friends are, and that's where we'll all be. I said, no, no, no. I said, pay close attention. Here's reality. You have no friends in hell.
Yeah.
In hell, you have torment, period. And her face changed. I mean, it just, that little smirk was gone.
Yeah.
And the reality, I hope reality set in with her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the problem today, John, isn't it? We have people are delusionary.
Yes, they are.
We'll be back right after this.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John,
Big John, Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance. He sure did it good, Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John,
Big Baptist John.
Big Baptist John. Jan, Danny in Michigan pledges 200. Thank you, Danny. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. John McTurnan, would you offer a prayer for this program tonight? We need to raise. We need to have a big night tonight. We got an hour, 90 minutes, to top off and, you know, to hold on to for a whole month. And we're, like I said, we're just by the skin of our teeth staying on some stations. So would you pray for that tonight, John?
Yes, Abba Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have before you this need, Lord. We need funds to pay for the cost of keeping the show on air. Lord, we don't advertise like other shows do because of the truth that's put forth here. And we're asking, Lord, that you would touch the listeners, and they, out of the generosity of their heart, would send funds in to pay the bills needed to keep on air, Lord. So the hardcore truth can go forward. We thank you for all the listeners. We're asking your blessings upon them, Lord. We ask your great blessings on those that help support. And we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.
Amen. Can we get somebody to match Danny's 200? Can we get Danny someone to match it four times this month, week? Normally, the most I can do is three. I pledged 1,000, folks. And we had, for everyone, every 1,000 I pledged, we had a match. And can we get, people tonight to pledge. Can we match those? Can somebody out there tonight match those thousands? Okay. 888-281-1110. Or the last call that we had coming in last night was Michael in Illinois for 500. Can we get anyone to match Michael's 500? We need someone to match Michael's 500. All right. We have, we're going to go ahead and you have an article there very quickly, Elder.
Yes. Government goes full Antichrist on man promoting Jesus, claiming rule supersedes U.S. Constitution. It says a South Carolina town is being sued for imposing a permitting scheme and demanding other limits on the display of a religious sign. First Liberty Institute has filed the action in federal court against the town of Chapin for its agenda to impose a permit requirement and other limits on Ernest Gherardino. No one should be forced to ask the government's permission to express their faith in a public space, explained First Liberty lawyer Nate Kellum in a statement about the case. The First Amendment in his permit, like any citizen in any city in America, Mr. Gherardino is free to peacefully share his religious beliefs on a public sidewalk. Chapin's ordinance is overbroad, unconstitutional, and must be repealed or enjoined. The legal team explained Gherardino was on a public sidewalk at the intersection of Old Lexington Road and Chapin Road on June 20th, 2024, holding a 20 by 24 inch sign attached to a short handle, which read, "Trust Christ, he paid the price," on one side, and "He saved others, Jesus, he'll save you," on the other side. It wasn't his first time there with a sign, the report said. He'd been there on and off for 8 months without any complication. But on that date, a Chapin officer confronted him and told him he needed the town's permission to share his message of faith. The town's code enforcement officer and chief of police both affirmed that the message, and they handed him a permit application that suddenly limited his sign display to 30 minutes, including a demand to change street corners after 15 minutes. The civil rights complaint challenges the constitutionality of the town's agenda. It's because the town regulating demonstrations is written vaguely enough to allow officials to claim that a man holding a sign, in fact, is a demonstration. The town is accused of violating the First and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution, as well as the state's Religious Freedom Act. Gherardino does not engage in any form of protest or demonstration with his signs. He does not object to anyone or anything with his signs, nor does he convey any political views with his signs. When holding one of his gospel-oriented signs in public, Gherardino consciously avoids blocking pathways or disrupting traffic.
All right, I'm going to just break in. You know, that's one of the things. All those years when we would be out on the streets protesting in front of the abortion mills and that, they hated the gospel message. You know, when you use Bible verses there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, if you come to our church, we have the whole yard out there. We have Bible verses. Everybody going up and down the road past the church,
right?
They get the gospel. They get the gospel by driving by. But God's word is offensive.
That's
it's
right.
Offensive to the unsaved, to the fools, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a stumbling block to them, okay? And so here I want to say, Teresa in California pledges 25. Thank you, Teresa.
All right.
888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open. We definitely need to hear from you. We really need to hear from you. John, this thing here, you know, going back to this whole Epstein file thing, Dershowitz came out, you know, he was Epstein's lawyer, Dershowitz, and he says that he knows every name that's on that list, and he knows all of those that have been redacted also. And I got a feeling of this. Do you think, John, that Trump is rope-a-doping, that he is rope-a-doping the Dems?
Well, Pastor Ernie, at first I didn't think of that, but then as it went on, it dawned on me, because the Dems are demanding that the list be made public. And they fought it. I mean, all those years, they never requested it. And now all of a sudden, because there may be some indication it could link Trump in there, they're like yelling, they're demanding that it be released.
What about this? Like, yeah, they have 4 years. 4 years. You had Merrick Garland. You had Chris Wray. You had Obama, Hillary. All of them had access. They all had access to that. Now, first of all, if there had been anything about Trump in there, they would have used it way back in when he ran in 2016. If there had been anything in the Epstein files, well, wait a minute. That didn't happen then, did it?
But for sure, they would have done it now when he was running against Harris.
Yeah, absolutely. But they also had all that time to change things in there, okay? Now, remember, they found it there at the FBI headquarters or the Department of DOJ. Cash Patel found a secret little room. And in that room, there was all kinds of things that was to be kept out of the, you know, away from the public. And so they had all of this time. Now, do you think that possibly Trump, by doing what he's doing, is actually doing that to get it all to come out? Because now he gave Bondi the order, I want it all out, bring it, everything out, okay? And so if he had anything to hide, I'm pretty sure that it all would have come out before now, but what about this? What if there's something that maybe absolutely, it could be absolute lies, false things, but it would harm some innocent people? In other words, do you think the Democrats are beyond putting things false information in there that would target innocent people? Maybe family members of some of the, you know, Republicans? What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, they're not the, they would do whatever necessary. So, yeah, I wouldn't put anything past them. But here's the thing. I'm wondering the timing of this. This is what has me perplexed. There was resistance against the big, beautiful bill of whatever the BBB, as he called it. And it came together on July 4th, he signed it into law. But then it was either the next day or Sunday that all of a sudden this thing bizarrely broke about Epstein. And it's been a furor since. So it seemed like he was trying to hide it. you know, what's in it. But why did it come out on a 2 days following this fight to get the bill elected? To me, it looked like he was giving some Republicans favors, Pastor Ernie. That's what it looked like to me. That they got the bill signed for him, they got it through, and then he wasn't going to expose the Epstein list because maybe some Republican names were on it. I'm saying that because of the timing of everything that transpired within a couple days.
Yeah, very good. That's a possibility. But I don't know, though. Are we treading on dangerous ground when we start speculating? Because, I mean, it could be a million different things going on there. And so, I don't know. I don't know what to think here on this. This is...
Well, it's all because of what happened there during the election, that he was going to reveal that list. Bondi said that she had the list and she was going to reveal it, and it was on her desk. And they were saying things like that, and they were reviewing all these films, and they were trying to find the ones they wanted, the ones that protected the innocent. They wanted. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing. And it happens right after that bill was signed.
You know, the amazing thing is that, and this is hard to believe, but like, you know, with all of the fallout, all of this fallout, we kept hearing that Trump's numbers now, his popularity is plunging. So they've been taking these polls now, and even CNN, I couldn't believe it. They come out and they said, this makes absolutely no sense at all. With all of this fallout, not only have Trump's numbers not fallen, they're increasing. And that, you know, that would have been hard to believe, but more than one poll says that. Do you think that people are circling the wagons around Trump?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and I, like myself, I'd like to see this come out, but I don't want to turn him upside down because, you know, he's not doing it. I mean, there are incredibly more important things than that, but I don't like the idea that he was talking, in the election there leading up and saying, yeah, Epstein, we're going to get that. Kennedy's files, the two Kennedys, yes, Martin Luther King. All of a sudden, he does a 180 on Epstein. It doesn't ring right, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, well, there's something there for sure. All right, we have... I have to really move this screen real close because of my eyesight right now. Sarah in New Jersey pledges 100. Patrick in Ohio pledges 100. And Charles in Illinois pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right.
All right, folks, I got to give those numbers out again. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. We need to hear from you. Or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. What about, John, what about this letter, this bawdy birthday letter that Trump was supposed to have written for Epstein's 50th birthday? They brought that out. Wall Street Journal brought that out. And so Elon Musk, he's been pretty upset with Trump recently. And so he said that he found about 8 places where, when they looked into the file on Epstein's Island where Trump's name was mentioned, so he wanted to make sure before he brought this that he put that letter all up and put it out there that it was legitimate. So he turned it over to AI. I guess, what have we got, this Grok now, or Gork? I guess it's called Gork, this super AI where AI is only dealing with its own, with other computer intelligence, other artificial intelligence. But anyhow, here, AI says the letter's a complete and total phony.
Wow.
And so, it said, no way in the world was that written by Trump. You know, and give all the, it gives a whole litany of different reasons, you know, with not only the handwriting, but everything else that was involved, saying it was just no way in the world it was a letter, that Trump composed a letter.
Yeah, I firmly believe that with the Democrats that were in power, if they had anything on those tapes about Trump, they would have been brought it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. But so now, why do you think, that Trump has roped and doped them and they're going to be pushing? I mean, the Democrats do some pretty dumb things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some really dumb things, in fact. But I don't know. Anyhow, speaking of that, government documents proves that Obama and the Dems knew Russia had no impact on Trump's first election. Remember all the Russia collusion claims just before President Trump took office in 2017? I remember. We talked a whole lot about it here. And after the years of special investigations, government office making wild claims, media psychopaths echoing the claims, all of those claims about Trump's campaign colluding with Russia, evidence now shows that the conspiracy was triggered by Hillary Clinton. We knew this. We talked about this a couple of years ago. Hillary paid for the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. This is not new news, but that by Hillary Clinton's desire to distract American voters' attention away from her scandalous behavior in which she posted government secrets on an unsecure private computer server she set up and worked with an opposition research team, some lawyers, and some foreigners on the plan. Goes on to say, whatever colluding they had been trying to persuade the American public was going on, the top level of Democrats in America, from Barack Obama, Joe Biden on down, knew the Russian did not impact Trump's victory. It comes from a report marked for the president and dated December 8, 2016, shortly after Trump's victory, but before he took office. The document, a presidential daily brief, was declassified by Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and had top intel agencies confirming, "We assess that Russians and the criminal actors did not impact U.S. election results by conducting malicious cyber activities against the election infrastructure." The report said that at most, the offenders compromised an Illinois voter registration database and unsuccessfully attempted to save in other states. A report on Fox News charged Obama regime manufactured intelligence to create 2016 Russian hoax interference narrative document of shows. Gabbard's comment, there was a treasonous conspiracy in 2016 committed by officials at the highest level of our government. The report said that Obama administration manufactured and politicized intelligence to create the narrative that Russia was attempting to influence the 2016 presidential election, despite information from the intelligence community stating otherwise. The scheming by Obama and others in the administration actually laid the groundwork for what would be a years-long Trump-Russia collusion probe. Now, here's the thing. Now, they started out, John, with investigating Comey and Brennan and Clapper. And now it's led to Obama. So this is, John, okay, a conspiracy To prove a conspiracy, first of all, you have to have a number of players, but you need more than that in a conspiracy, don't you? What do you need?
Yeah, you need some action, Pastor Ernie. You know, you need them to act. Well, you need one conspirator to act. And they have that. They have that false document, and they were promoting it knowing it was false.
You know, so also, what about what Comey did with Hillary? You know, had all the evidence. He had all the evidence of her burning, you know, the acid on the hard drives and smashing the cell phones and all of that. There's got to be something there, part of that. Well, that's I guess, would be included in the conspiracy, right?
Well, it would be, probably it would be, Pastor Ernie, but here's the thing. As you know, back in my long, it's a long way back now, but I was a federal agent. And when we uncover evidence of a crime, I don't have the authority as a federal agent to say, well, there's not enough here, and the U.S. attorney wouldn't prosecute this anyway, so we're not going to refer it to the U.S. attorney's office. We can't do that. The one that makes the decision, we bring evidence to the U.S. attorney, and the U.S. attorney makes the decision whether to prosecute or not. So when Comey got up there and laid all this evidence out of how wrong, or the crimes, the evidence of the crimes that Hillary committed, when I was listening to it, I said, they're going to prosecute her. He's going to bring this, because the FBI brought all the evidence out. And then at the end, he said, well, although there is evidence here she committed a crime, this is not the type of crime that the U.S. Attorney's Office would, and the evidence that the U.S. Attorney's Office will prosecute. So therefore, we're not going to refer it to the U.S. Attorney. That's absolutely upside down. Right then and there, you know, I knew the fix was in. There's no doubt the fix was in. Now, the U.S. Attorney's Office, Pastor Ernie, should have been enraged. The woman who was the U.S. Attorney, then Lynch, that she was the U.S. Attorney then, right?
Yeah.
She should have been enraged that the FBI was making a decision that only the U.S. Attorney's Office could do. And she said nothing. So the fix was in.
The fix was in big time, and it's all coming. It's all going to be coming down. Okay, Carl in Ohio pledges $200. Thank you, Carl. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you. We have about 1 hour left tonight for you to call. 1 hour, folks. Help us stay on your station. Help us. Can we get anyone to match? You know, we had this week, we had all four of my $1,000 matches that I pledges were matched by one. Can we get somebody else to match them? Can we get one some more tonight? One more tonight. Okay. Well, can you match it out there? 1,000. What about 500? We got to get some help in here, don't we? Okay.
Yes.
All right, folks. We need to hear from you tonight. 888-281-1110. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Tampon Tim. Now, these people are lawless. I mean, they're totally lawless. The things they believe, like what Hillary did, that they can, and what Joe Biden did, they can break the law, you know, and don't expect to ever be prosecuted. Well, what did Tampon Tim do? Did he actually hire a hitman? We'll be back right after this for more. Don't go away.